Next, we turn to Barbara with the Lou Waters 1964 sessions. Bob Helm on the reeds, Bob Milky trombone, Wally Rose piano, Bob Short tuba and string bass, Monty Blue banjo.
You had 4 or 5 years to experience the music business, and you said, this isn't for me. And they kind of said, she's not for us. So the next place you really appear on record is with Lou Waters, another guy who had rejected the music business until he felt a need to make a public social statement.
Yes, and he, at the time, was perfectly happy without the music business.
In 1964, he became very involved in the fight
to stop the nuclear plant at Bodega Head. Not only he, but, you know, hundreds of people became very concerned and got mobilized around that. And he called me. I didn't know Lou. I never met him. I wasn't one of the people from that era when their band was so... I came to the jazz scene when he'd already retired and was out of the picture. But he called and he said, I know you'd be the right singer to do this, and I want you to be on this thing. I'm going to make a record just for this purpose.
Yeah, it had been at least 10 years since he'd done anything in the music business. Yeah,
that's right. Quite a while. So he says, I know I'm going to get all my favorites together and we're going to do this thing, and I want you to sing it. And
it's a darn good album.
It's a wonderful album. It's a really lively, beautiful, got a lot of stuff.
One of the things on that album is C.C. Rider, which again brings us back to the blues tradition. I'd be interested in your take on the origins of that. I've heard of a lot of different theories. Did you ever bother to look into the origins of that tune? I know it's related to a lot of other ones, too. But.
Yes, the thing about the blues is it is like it's very malleable in its pre-commercial stages, you know. It's music, it's all these different fragments and bits of ideas that float, verses of and phrases and terms that float in and out one of the other. And when it finally gets codified into something we call the 12-bar blues, or all these different verses that are interchangeable in different songs, people restructure it, make a different theme out of some of the same verses and add a different thought. Anyone who knows the blues knows this is the result. You'll hear this kind of overlap of material. Well, C.C. Rider is nothing but a 12-bar blues that somebody took and harnessed into put a verse on the beginning. And it probably was, I forget now, but it must have been one of the Tin Pan Alley, like the Spencer Williamses or one of them. I'm sure it was. I'm not a historian. I can't remember anything. But the verse is nice because it sets it up. It kind of lets the audience build up anticipation until you can launch into that C.C. Rider. But this debate about is it C.C. Rider, is it Easy Rider, is it blah, 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 who cares? I used to sing it both ways. I sang a 16-bar version called Easy Rider, which was more like kind of an easy ride. It was had a different, same words. I used the same words. And then the 12-bar version with the verse became my real favorite way to do it. And that is one of the songs that I always say for the part in the show where I feel like I've got this audience kind of, I understand them now. I'm going to speak to them from the heart and I'm going to improvise and say whatever. And I usually pull verses out of wherever my memory takes me and build a new version of C.C. Rider each time I do it. But it's a great song. There's something about the melody of it. I don't know. It's just created by hundreds of people polishing it till that melody got just that way.
I've been unhappy, you know it's true. And you've been feeling sad. We made a mistake right from the start, but today I'm feeling glad. Open this letter that I will write. I know that you'll be happy when you receive it. See, Rider, see what you done. See, Rider, see what you done. Yeah, you made me love you. Now your time has come. I catch that old cat a call. Cause if he don't have me, he don't need a woman at
C.C. Rider, Barbara Dane, from the historic 1964 Lou Waters Blues Over Bodega recording. Waters came out of retirement from the music business to help successfully fight the building of a nuclear power reactor on the California coast just north of Point Reyes. Personnel for that recording included some of the former Yerba Buena players like Bob Helm and pianist Wally Rose, plus other West Coasters like Bob Short Tuba and Barbara's old buddy, trombonist Bob Milkey. All her life, Barbara Dane's been deeply involved in social activism and fighting racism. She was an early supporter of nonprofit community radio in the 50s, supporting the young Pacifica radio station KPFA in its early days. In the 60s, Dane sang in the Freedom Schools of rural Mississippi and at many marches, concerts, and protests against the Vietnam War. And she was among the first American musicians to perform in communist Cuba and Vietnam. Through the 1970s, as co-founder of her own Paradon Record Company, she produced and released about 50 albums of ethnic and protest music recorded around the world. Many of those historic recordings are now in the catalog of the Smithsonian Folkways Company. Among those was an album of her own entitled I Hate the Capitalist System. And throughout her life, she's continued to join in a wide spectrum of progressive causes. The Good News Bonanza Band, which, I don't know, when did that first start up? It ties into this period. I mean, it brings us back to jazz. And you come back now as this person who is much more yourself and in control of what you want to say and what you want to do. And now you have this band called the Good News Bonanza Band.
Moving back to the Bay Area, I'd come back in touch with all my good old pals, Bob Milkey for one, and, you know, Richard Hadlock and Pete Allen and a lot of the old gang.
You did your own version of Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Yes.
As a tango.
It occurred to me to do this kind of sotto voce, you know, low down behind the music announcement like it was a fashion show, and to name all these different people who are coming in the door and circling the floor in this fashion show and have it be who it is. I won't tip
it works very well.
I won't tip the hand, but yeah. You have to listen carefully. It's not just a musical piece. It is that, but it's more. But gigolo and gigolette still sing a song and dance along the boulevard of broken dreams. And now the star players in the drama unfolding here are leaving their seats around the Golden Horseshoe, beginning to assume center stage here at the ballroom. First on the floor, the Shah and Shaboom of Iran. She is wearing a gorgeous blue gown encrusted with peacock feathers for this outing. As they circle the floor, followed quickly by, yes, it's Anastasio Somoza with his beautiful partner, doing a rather unusual turn here and quickly exiting to the south. Look, here come baby Doc Duvalier and his lovely bride. She's certainly set off by that fabulous Paris gown. but just behind them, making a grand entrance through an archway made of, can it be, shoes? Imelda and Ferdinand Marcos. And what would this ball be without them? So let the dance play on. Always find me, always walking up and down. But I left my soul behind me in an old cathedral town in Nicaragua. The joy you find you borrow, you cannot keep it long, it seems. But Gigolo and Gigolette still sing a song and dance along the boulevard of broken dreams. I wrote to a man in Tallinn in Estonia who had been writing to me before and asked me to come whenever I was in Europe. I should try to come there because he had for 30 years or so, has had a jazz series on a radio station in Tallinn. And by the way, people, if they're not aware of it, should know that there's an old jazz tradition in the Soviet Union or the former Soviet Union, going back to the 20s and even before. The earlier musicians who went to Europe, some of them stayed there. Some of them, just their influence stayed. But so there's a lot of there are a lot of jazz players in all different phases of jazz all over the country. Anyway, this guy arranged for me to do some concerts in Tallinn and some other things around the Soviet Union too, and the only thing got recorded was in this radio station by this jazz lover, the man who had this show. The players that he rounded up to accompany me actually are the ones who are the studio band, you know, who play everything, all the Estonian music and all everything else, but who have these particular players had some special interest in jazz. So they're not the swingingest, you know, but they have a lot of technique and a good heart toward it, and so it's interesting to just hear a little bit about how they approach the subject.
Our little dream cottage, with every dream gone, is lonely and silent. The shades are all drawn, and my heart is heavy as I gaze upon a cottage for sale. The lawn we were proud of is waving in hay. Our beautiful garden is withered away. Where you planted roses, the weeds seem to say, a cottage for sale. From every single window I see your face. But when I reach that window, there's empty space. The keys in the mail, the same as before, but nobody's waiting for me anymore. The end of our story is there on the door, a cottage for sale. Thank you.
Cottage for Sale, a rare Barbara Dane item, recorded for broadcast in Tallinn, Estonia in 1989. Now, during this next segment, Barbara speaks of an unfinished recording project from 1988 that long went unissued, but it's just recently been completed with additional recorded material and issued on the GHB label as What Are You Gonna Do When There Ain't No Jazz? I mentioned to a number of people that you were going to come in and chat, and their eyes just lit up every time I mentioned
your
name. Yeah, is she still around? You know, or did you know she did with? Or do you know about? I mean, people do know your name, and it's something I've been wanting to do for a while because you have a very strong personality and are clear on what you want to do, and you've had an interesting career, to put it mildly.
Well, if career is the word, but it I guess it's the only thing to call it. But
well, an interesting life.
Yes. There you go. Illustrated with musical detours here and there and some main roads. And I know that sometimes some people in the audience may be a little taken aback because I seem to have something to say. I've always tried to not destroy their holiday mood. I want them to have a good time. They're out to have a good time. I'm not there to force them to take on the burdens of the world on the Saturday night or whatever it is. I strongly believe in having a good time of looking at your man or your woman and saying, I love you, darling. Let's go out and dance, or let's go out and hear music.
Nonetheless, you've spoken your mind like a few other singers.
Well, I've tried to do that. It feels to me, it feels like a reason for living. I'm not ready to quit yet. I actually, in preparation for the show, I was listening to these tapes that were made in 88, actually, in New Orleans, and I'd been sitting on here because there were some technical problems were holding me back, and Bob Mielke's been encouraging me to listen to them and think about, we should get this out. In listening to it, I said, you know, really, if I can still sing at the level of quality that I was singing in 88, I would like to go ahead and do a lot more recording right now.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I'm lucky because you brought along some unreleased mixes from this session. Now, let's let people in on this. It's Bob Mielke, Headlocks on the Reeds, Pete Allen bass, and you mentioned trumpeter.
Scott Black, a very fantastic trumpeter.
And piano is?
Butch Thompson.
Why did you choose Pinchbacks, Take 'Em Away?
Oh, because that song's been in my repertory for 35 years, and I never recorded it, and I...
It's a Bessie Smith?
It's a Bessie Smith thing. Pinchbacks, well, that refers to the pinchback coats that the pimps wore, you know. The Sport Life guys wore those pinch pleats in the back, so...
Oh, so that's what the reference is.
Yeah, and okay. That's what Wellman Bro at least told me it meant, and he's from New Orleans, and from that age, so he ought to know. The thing is, Bessie was talking about how those guys are no good for you and you should look for a working man. And, of course, that, you know, is one of my themes. And so I always loved that song. And it just happened to come off, I think it came off pretty well.
Well, thank you again, Barbara. It's been a real privilege to have you here.
Okay, Dave, keep it going. Keep playing that good stuff.
fell in love with a sweet man once. He said he loved me too. He said if I'd run away with him, what nice thing we could do. Travel around from town to town, have a lot of fun. But don't you know, girl, he wouldn't work. Better take this tip from me. Get a working man when you marry. Let all these sweet men, let them be. Longer than I will hear all you young girls say. That is a long, long way to Oklahoma. All that pitchback daddy, take them away.
Again, for more about Barbara Dane or to purchase her CDs, she invites you to her website, www.barbaradane.net. That's Barbara Dane, one word, .net. And as always, I welcome your questions, comments, or requests for playlists via the Jazz Rhythm website, www.jazzhot.bigstep.com. I hope you've enjoyed this visit with a feisty, opinionated, and very political woman, a terrific musician who's created an outstanding body of work in blues, jazz, and folk musics, and a dear lady. My heartfelt thanks to Barbara Dane for sharing with us some musical rarities and her fascinating memories from a surprising, remarkable, and pioneering life and song. That's Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for listening.